Welcome to the Emotional Curriculum with me, Dr. Sarah Taylor Whiteway. Manualised interventions in schools are big business, and it can be hard to tell which of these are going to have the most impact in your school. Today we explore a specific intervention, philosophy for children, and think about which aspects of it make it successful and how teachers can be more empowered to look for evidence-based interventions. We talked to Dr. Nadia Siddiqui, an associate professor at the School of Education in Durham University. She discusses how she explored the impact of the Philosophy for Schools intervention, what schools can learn from this intervention, and how teachers can analyse other interventions in schools. Nadia, welcome to the Emotional Curriculum. Today we're going to talk about your work, which analysed the Philosophy for Children programme, and also just intervention studies in general and what we can learn from these. But first, could you tell us a little bit about the work that you do?
Thank you for inviting me for this podcast. We are a team of researchers here at Durham. I work with Professor Stephen Gorad, and we have done a lot of work with him in understanding the patterns of poverty and how they impact on school experiences and their key stage achievement, and how that determines their lifelong outcomes, such as going into higher education or not, what kind of jobs they do, and then what are those factors that contribute towards their success or lack of success. Basically, we are working in a lot of evaluation projects. And what we do in evaluation projects, we tend to assess the impact of the program on children's key stage achievements, their daily cognitive learning, and their school experience, and then their social emotional well-being, and what happens in their general life, and how school can contribute an important role in making general life experiences, school experiences, and learning process a lucrative one. And basically, the evaluations are independent inquiry. That means we have no vested interest in the program or the development of the program, or where it comes from, what kind of business it is supporting, and what teachers will do with it. So we just present evidence whether it has shown any impact, or it has shown any negative impact, or it doesn't have any promise for the future impact.
And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about philosophy for children today. So for those who don't know it, could you talk a little bit about what the program is and what it does?
Interesting. So we were chosen as evaluators for the program. The organization called SEPAIR, they have developed the program. The foundation is basically coming from Lippmann's approach that he applied in America. So that they have taken the thought and the main layout of the program, the template of the program, and just adjusted it to what happens in schools in the UK. And an interesting thing about this program is that it's conversational. It's dialogue between peers and teachers. And you sit in a circle of inquiry. You just sit in a circle and take any specific topic and ask questions about it. And then they discuss what's the answer, what could be the possible argument about it. And it has no direct literacy and numeracy instruction in it. It's basically conversation and on topics that are chosen by the teachers, by the parents, by the students themselves. And it's kind of quite flexible in taking up what students want to discuss in their school, in their personal life, as a community. And they wanted to see whether it leads to any specific achievement outcomes or not. And because the program doesn't have a direct literacy numeracy in it, the developers were interested in knowing whether it leads to any social emotional gains.
So could you tell us a little bit about how you analyse the effect of this intervention?
So for a year it was given to students, and at the end of it we conducted a student survey, and we had a treatment group who were given the program as rigorously as possible, and we have schools that were in control group, and they were given a waiting list that after completion of 12 months they will be rolled out the same intervention as we gave to the treatment group. Yes, so that's where we found there are some benefits to it. And after that, the organization which has developed the program were mainly interested in knowing further impact on social emotional learning, and conducted another round of survey, and we found yes, there is something going on.
So you mentioned there that your findings did find some impact. So could you talk a little bit more about what you did find?
With this program, we haven't seen any negative impact, number one. There is a consistent positive gain in social emotional learning and cognitive learning, and more so for children coming from disadvantaged backgrounds. When we run the analysis for children indicated to be on free school meal, we saw that their gains were much more prominent as compared to children who were not on free school meal. So I think there is something in it that's worth taking on board.
So we'll come back to talk about some of these findings in a bit more detail. I was wondering if you had an explanation for this effect on social emotional learning. Why do we think it did improve the outcomes in this area?
The developers of the program can design content, and there is an element to introduce or do a philosophy for children in a maths classroom, or do a philosophy for children in an English or a history classroom. But as per se, this is not the aim of the program, I would say, to help children learn literacy or numeracy. That it's basically conversation and a dialogue and an inquiry and a practice towards asking questions, which I find that our education has somehow missed that big element of growing up, that growing up is about asking questions all the time. It's a natural response of a child that they ask questions. The program Philosophy for Children has a very clear component built in it that children are given time to create questions. So that was one of the fascinating points for us to unravel that. What is it that in normal school day life, questions are asked by teachers most of the time. Students are there to answer the question, and there's very little time scope given to children that, oh, now it's your time to ask question, and then there is silence because they are not taught how to ask questions. While in this program, there is a lot about the language of question is practiced, what kind of questions students can ask, what kind of arguments will develop from this kind of questions, and they kind of get the hook of it that, okay, questions are sometimes very important to understand and for the learning. So that's what the program does. And in that process, I think by asking questions, developing questions, there is a lot of reflection and there is a lot of thinking. So our understanding is that that helps children to understand many points about life, about society, about school, about learning. And that's where comes the role. If they will ask questions on critical topics, then obviously they will hear lots of views which they might not have heard, or kind of views that were contradictory to what they have been taught in school or at home. Then comes how to deal with that, how to deal with lot of contradiction. So there is lot of content and embedded in the program how to deal with disagreements, how to respond to the disagreement, and then that in all that process of conversation and a dialogue, there is a lot of emotional engagement. It's a lot of catharsis. It's a lot of disturbance at the same time, because when we interviewed children, many of them said, I just felt very uncomfortable. I felt some things were discussed that I never wanted to talk about, or it made me sad. So there are these things, but which are natural, I think. And we do get that in our daily life experiences, that children should be prepared to talk about negative experiences. And I think the program offers all these elements of practice. I think what the results show are basically there is some improvement in children's understanding of society, their social responsibility, sense of empathy, that somehow improves with being exposed to the program.
That's really interesting. So essentially this dialogical aspect of the course, the fact that they taught students and children how to ask questions, particularly from quite a young age, really meant that maybe they explored other things with this skill, and that helped them in their academic progress, but also helped them learn more about the world, and that in itself had an impact.
And that's something linked with the curiosity. I think children naturally are very curious beings, and asking question is their first response to their natural curiosity. And somehow in school curriculum or in school environment, in school settings, that emotion, that big emotion, somehow is it doesn't thrive the way we have set our education system. That natural curiosity, it's not nourished to an extent that it can be nourished.
And the other interesting effect you saw was that it seemed to have more impact on disadvantaged children in your study. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts about why you saw this effect.
We found that there is an impact more so on free school meal children, but there is a generic pattern that when interventions that target improvement are implemented on children from disadvantaged backgrounds, they tend to show bigger increase as compared to children who are on average not belonging to that group. There is a general pattern that if you do something for a challenging group and if it is impactful, then they are more likely to show that bigger impact. So somehow it seems to be the reason that when we focus children of that age group and of that background, there are more opportunities for them. There are more specific tasks given for them, much more preparation around them. So it could be the reason that the way programs are implemented, the focus gets more on children that need improvement. What we observed in classroom settings, there were many topics that were discussed in the B4C sessions where they got the opportunity to express their emotions, to relate with some experiences. And when we asked them, how come you were talking about this? And somehow the only thing we could understand is that there is no other way to discuss this. It's most of the time class, teaching, writing, doing maths, learning. So when we sit in the classroom in a way that, okay, this is the time only for discussion, it's the time only for talking, and whatever we will talk, it will not have any consequences on us. And that somehow gives them that importance that we mean something to the teacher, we mean something to other peers in the classroom. And much more important is that somehow the ability to speak and the ability to voice your opinion, they have that, but there is lack of opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And when children come along and when everybody has to talk, slowly and gradually they will get that confidence and motivation from that atmosphere, and that confidence starts developing. A lot of it is about regular implementation, which is a main challenge in school settings. I believe that a program like that has that an element for children coming from disadvantaged backgrounds to voice their opinion and come forward and be visible.
And so in research, it is much easier to assess academic or cognitive gains. There's normally objective tests that can help us do that, but it's a lot harder to do this with social emotional development. There isn't objective measures, although there are more ideas coming out there. We can't always accurately build a picture of the development in social emotional learning. So how did you do it in this study?
How we did it? So we had quite a mixed approach in asking children about these outcomes. So asking directly about what they feel about school, what they think about their peers. So we gave them a clear instruction how to rate that response. But apart from that, we also gave them little storylines and asked them to respond on those stories. And they were little vignettes, and they were asked to give what's the most appropriate option to certain scenario. So that in order to separate the bias from their own self-reporting. For example, we can ask a child, do you think you have empathy? And most of them would say, yes, we are quite empathetic and we have soft feelings. We are kind people. In order to tackle that bias, we had introduced little stories to them and asked them to respond on the given options. And obviously, in that story, there is a character, there are maybe two characters, and then we ask them what could be the right choice here or what could be the right response or emotion here. And somehow this is we are separating that self from what their actual knowledge is or what their actual feeling about it. And somehow, but changing those, so if an intervention has been introduced and we have checked or we have assessed them again and there is a change, then we, at a large level, at a large number of students, they on average, there is an improvement or not, we can see that we are measuring something here, which not as accurate as one can be, but it's somewhere we are capturing what is there that is being changed in that time period on averages, not at individual level.
And so we've spoken about lots of things that have come out of your study, and I'm wondering if you think there are general things that schools can take away from what you found out about this program.
Schools can take a lot from this. General conversation, a general environment of the school can be improved with programs where there's a lot of opportunity for children from all backgrounds, from all groups, and from all abilities, be able to talk and be visible. And visible in a sense that when you are talking, then others are listening, and they are listening carefully, and they are listening and they will respond on it. So I think a school environment is important for children, and more so for children coming from disadvantaged backgrounds, from challenging families. I think a school is a safe place for many, many of these children. And I think what we can expect from these findings is that, okay, there are some big targets to meet. There are big results to achieve for the school, for children, for parents. Yes, they are important, and then they are more important for their lifelong successes. But the aspect how a child goes through daily life experiences and how their emotions, their well-being is affected by certain challenging times, I think programs like that should be embedded in the curriculum in a structured way, rather not just like in a way, oh, yes, we do that. We do have assemblies. We do have talking corners. We do have box where children can slip in their worries in it anonymously. Yes, these are important interventions, but are they structured? Are they regularly implemented? So that's what I think the take-home message could be, that the school can provide a regular space in their curriculum where they make sure that programs like these are presented, and the ones which have strong evidence base, because a lot of these programs might not be effective on the skills that their school wants to target. I think it has to be a careful selection of programs that they can pick up and implement it on a regular basis.
Okay, so this idea of evidence-based interventions and also thinking about how you can bring dialogue into school. And so if there was just one thing you wanted those listening to take away from this conversation, what would that be?
I think conversation is a fascinating thing. Dialogue with children, giving them time to talk. Time to talk is a beautiful thing. And I think schools and teachers should be much more aware of its importance. And I think picking up on a lot of pressures under what teachers are going through at the time, or what children are going through in the current times, I think talking with children or giving them a space to dialogue with adults in a reasonable way, I think is something I would really want teachers to take it on board. And I would also want that teachers must look into programs such as these or anywhere where the evidence is clear and evidence is strong enough, rather than it's just not, oh, somebody has used in one school or that approach to work and the others used that. That approach is fascinating. I would also want teachers to look into evidence and judge it more closely, be able to read reports on programs such as this and make their own judgment about the value of that evidence and make the judgment what is best for their context, what is best for their students, and how far they can implement it. And I think a regular implementation, rigorous implementation is also very important features of the programs. And I think that's another thing that clear reporting of any program or any evaluation should cover. Whether it's a feasible program to implement and what are the challenges that teachers, schools or parents or children would face in the implementation. So, yeah, one thing that I would say, conversation and dialogue with children is important and more important for the disadvantaged children. And I think this kind of program gives that opportunity to everyone to discuss and to talk.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned at the end there is really important. If schools are going to buy an intervention, to really look at the evidence behind it and to ensure that they can put it in place rigorously in a way that it's meant to, not expecting it to work if they don't do it as it's been designed to do.
Yep, there is so much evidence available on these programs and approaches. I think teachers themselves are kind of, what shall we do? Some say it works and some say it doesn't work. I think my answer to that is just read it yourself and make a judgment and judge the quality of evidence and judge in a way on what the evaluations have done. Have they used carefully the comparison groups? Is it a randomized controlled trial? Have they implemented randomized controlled trial as fairly as possible?
Those really helpful points, I think, probably to start teachers off on looking at that research. And the Education Endowment Foundation is also a good place to start for those interested in looking at research behind interventions. So Nadia, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about what Nadia spoke about today, you'll find links in the podcast description. If you like this episode, then please do subscribe, and you can follow us on Twitter at emcurriculum. You can get in touch on theemotionalcurriculum@gmail.com. See you soon!